The federal education bill that passed in 2001, called the No Child Left Behind Act, continues to have a huge impact in schools with its requirements on testing and teacher quality. Eric Robelin has been looking at a less publicized part of the law that will affect school districts all over the country.
Persistently dangerous. Not exactly an attractive label for a school. It's probably the last thing a principal would want. But some schools could get that dubious distinction next year thanks to a new federal mandate. The provision, sort of a policy cocktail mixing equal parts school choice and school safety, says that any student attending a persistently dangerous public school must be allowed to transfer to a safe school in that district. In addition, any student who falls prey to a violent criminal offense at school may transfer. On the surface, the mandate sounds reasonable enough. After all, who would want to force a student to attend an unsafe school? But carrying out the requirement poses some difficult questions. Many states and school districts have been working hard in recent years to improve school safety by adopting stronger prevention and intervention strategies. But the No Child Left Behind Act enters new terrain. First, it contains new reporting requirements for states on school safety, including data on a school-by-school basis. And states for the first time must identify persistently dangerous schools. The stakes are high given the scarlet D it would brand on a school. It's a very difficult thing to define, says Ken Trump, the president of National School Safety and Security Services, a Cleveland-based consulting firm. If a school is labeled dangerous, he points out, it might create fear and panic, besides being an embarrassment to school officials. In fact, Mr. Trump worries that the law could undermine school safety as it might cause some school officials to underreport campus crime. Each state, in collaboration with local officials, must decide what a persistently dangerous school is. Invariably, this will involve some kind of bean counting, whether it's a fixed number of violent crimes in school, weapons discovered on campus, or students expelled for various criminal activities. South Carolina even hired a statistics expert as part of its ongoing effort to define persistently dangerous. Susan Alexander, a state school official there, says, "This is not the sort of task where you just pick a number out of thin air." Despite the challenge, Ms. Alexander said she believes the new measure is a good idea and is meant to prevent violence, not punish schools. In fact, the federal department's draft guidance says each district should draw up and implement a corrective action plan to make any dangerous schools safer. And once a school has been identified as dangerous, or an individual student becomes the victim of a violent crime, the district must allow transfers to a safe school. This new mandate poses some challenges, too. The law only requires that eligible students have an alternative within the same public school system. But many small districts have just one high school, and some large urban districts may not have space available elsewhere, especially if there were a mass exodus from a persistently dangerous school. Critics say the push by President Bush and some members of Congress for the unsafe schools provision was driven, at least in part, by a political desire to advance the larger school choice movement in this country. But Ron Stevens, the executive director of the National School Safety Center in California, said he was hopeful the measure will improve safety. "This whole area of school safety is a continuing national experiment," he said. "It shouldn't require an act of courage for parents to send their kids to school."
Eric Robelin is a reporter for Education Week.